Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee-deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is Season 7, Episode 2 of Sticky Pickles, Syndicated Complaint, and Mr. 8 out of 10. I think we should just jump in. All right, dive in. In fact, Maria, you're starting today. Tell me, what is your sticky pickle syndicated complaint?
All right, so Graham's ears are going to be burning a little bit today because this is actually a chess story.
Oh, like he listens.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. He doesn't listen. That's fine. We live in a town where there is a very active chess club, just recreational, nothing crazy or professional, but like, you know, hobbyist chess players do take it quite seriously. Don't know if we...
Yep.
Many chess clubs, even though chess has gotten really popular lately with younger folks, they're still kind of a gray hobby, to put it politely. A lot of older folks pretty much are the only ones who have time to like show up to regular chess meetings. And in this town, there is this guy named Grigori.
Grigori.
Okay. Who has been playing chess his whole life, takes it extremely seriously. He comes from, insert random Eastern European / former USSR country here that also takes chess very seriously.
National sport. Yep.
Yeah, like very, very much ingrained in his identity and ethnicity, all that good stuff. And he's like an old school chess guy. He's got like his discipline about it. He reads the books. He's not interested in like the newfangled interest in the game, so to speak. He's like, yeah, that might be just a fad, but for those of us who know the Prince's game, we're really into it, and we don't need any of this new stuff. We don't watch Gotham Chess.
They're like MC Hammer. They got all the moves.
They know the way, and they're like, it's like a philosophy for them. And Grigori's like almost religious about chess. It's his deal. Mm-hmm. And he is happy to have new people to play against in chess club, but it's also kind of a little overwhelming because they have all their newfangled ideas. And so one of the new opponents that he has been playing pretty regularly week after week at chess club is this younger guy. And by younger, I mean in his 40s, named Frank. Now, Frank has known chess his whole life, but only recently got into it. Like many people, he kind of like rediscovered it in the pandemic and is like super into chess. And he watches the videos. He's on chess.com. He nods his head happily when Graham's talking about it on Smashing Security.
Lie chess. Yeah, he's on all the apps.
All the apps. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this because I'm married to a guy kind of like Frank. So I just learned this recently. But apparently there's like a bunch of new chess moves that have sort of been rolled out in the past few years, maybe.
No idea.
If you think of it almost like dance, you know, new dance moves come out. So and all the chess fans right now are like cringing.
The latest thing I've heard about is twerking. So, you know,
that's the latest. Well, to be fair, I can't think of anything more recently either, but I'm not really up on my dancing either. But yeah, there are like new chess moves, new chess openings or attacks, that kind of thing. And Frank is like, he studies them and he loves chatting and talking shop about it, basically. He's really fascinated by all these new tactics and strategies that have come out. And so he cannot wait the next chess club meeting to try them out on an old goat like Grigori.
Cool, right, because he won't see them coming because he's an old goat. Got it. He's going to slam dunk this baby.
Yeah. Yeah, and Grigori's practically like a grandmaster, which is like, you know, the gods of chess. So like if you can use one of these new attacks on somebody like Grigori and it works, then like, oh my God, you've got a one-up on this guy. It's a big win for you. So at the next game, at their next meeting, you know, they sit down, they shake hands. You know, how are you doing, Grigori? How's your wife? How's it going? Blah, blah, blah. How's your gout? Whatever. You know, they chat.
How's your gout?
Listen, the youngest person in this story is in their 40s, so, you know.
How's the prostate cancer?
You know, how's that back pain?
You doing fine with the emphysema? It's all right?
I sound like Jesus. I have that right now with the wheeze that I've got going. Oh, my God. You know, the little polite chit-chat, but then once the game really starts, it's silence. You know, they're very, very concentrating on what they're doing. And Frank decides to open with what's called the bong cloud attack.
The bong cloud attack, which is, I guess, one of these newfangled moves.
One of these new moves, would you like me to find someone to explain what the bong cloud attack is?
No.
I can go fetch the person in my household who can explain it.
No, I'm going to take it. I love you, Eric. I love you, Eric. No. I'm sure there's going to be about a dozen listeners that are going to be like, damn you, Caroli.
Caroli.
But no.
Apparently, from what I understand, this attack is very flashy and is kind of like a fuck you to the person that you're playing because it's very aggressive. And it basically, in the language of chess players, says that, like, I'm so good and you're so bad. I'm going to do this very risky thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can counter it, is essentially what it is.
Okay. So it's like the slam dunk. It's like doing the caterpillar, you know, in breakdancing.
It is a very risky, very bold opening move. And Grigori sees this immediately. He doesn't know that it has the name, the bong cloud. I don't think Grigori knows what a bong is, to be honest, but it doesn't really matter. He sees the move happening in front of him, and he, like, pushes himself away from the table.
Dramatically?
He's offended. He's offended that Frank would put this move over on him, basically. And he collects himself, and he plays through the game, and Grigori, of course, wins because he's really good, and Frank is still kind of a newbie. But it bothers him that someone this relatively new to the game would do something like that when playing him in a situation and in a setting that he took very seriously, in a game that he takes very seriously.
Yeah, but it's a legal move, right?
As far as I know, yes, it is legal, yes.
Yeah.
Is it polite?
And you know what? Like, in the rules of, like, cricket, for example, there's a lot of niceties that are, or etiquette.
Etiquette, that's the word. Yes, yes.
Right? Where I don't see that necessarily in football/soccer. Or other games. You know, they do shake hands at the end, but there's a lot of shin hitting. There's a lot of kicks in the shin.
Yeah, like if you brush up against someone else's shoulder, you must rise on the ground as if you're in excruciating pain. That is the only etiquette I know.
Oh, it's so lame. It's so embarrassing.
I know. But yeah, it is an etiquette thing, I think. It really sticks in Grigori's craw. Like, it bothers him. So, like, it's several days after that meeting, and he's still fixated on it. And he's not a fixated kind of guy. He usually can let things roll, but he can't let this one go. So, okay, I know this one is hard, but if you were Grigori, what would you do? Because I know you would be like, I don't give a shit, but pretend you give a shit.
I give a shit. I'm a master of my game. New kids are coming in because I'm, you know, how old am I? I'm 60?
Oh, yeah. Well, closer to 70, I would say, yeah.
Right. Okay. So I would like to, so this is difficult for me, like, if I'm that person, because I really, really want to be that person who celebrates the newbies coming in. You know, like, look, I have a millennial on this show, Maria.
barely, by my fingernail. Yeah, barely a millennial.
But no, but you know what I mean?
It's the second time you mentioned it today that I'm millennial. I know, what have I done?
It wasn't on tape before.
I know. So. Like, what have I done that was so millennial of me? He doesn't want to be seen as, like, old man yelling at cloud. But at the same time, this was quite a breach of etiquette in his book.
So there are two moves he could do. He could decide, if he's that grandmaster, he might want a new challenge because he knows all the moves. He's 70, he knows them all. He's been playing his whole life.
True.
So why doesn't he brush up on his bolder ass moves from the new generation and make the kid eat his own McDonald's? Right? So I'm going to compare his move to Mickey D's. Right? He served him a Big Mac when the guy's used to having filet or something, or, you know.
All right, so make him eat it. Make him regret his choice.
Yeah, make him eat it. Go learn the moves, push it back on him, and only play them with him, right? But, you know, he does not deserve my honor, and just play him back the way he was until he begs for forgiveness, I guess.
Wow, so you're going for revenge.
I'm trying to be entertaining on the podcast. Of course I wouldn't. What I would do would be like, look at the cutie. That was really cool move. I didn't see that coming. I better brush up on those skills.
So, like, supportive but slightly patronizing.
Exactly. I would ruffle his hair.
Like, adorable. Look at you trying to beat me.
Okay, this is also very Gen Z, but what about, not Gen Z, Gen X, but what about I could have a little voodoo doll of him at home, right, with pins, because we really believed in that.
I know. I remember that. I love all of those ideas. And I wish we would pass the voodoo doll idea onto Grigori, because that is actually a really great one. I think that would be healthy for him to just stab something
with needles.
With needles through, and just be like, Frank, fuck you
through
Frank!
The heart.
fuck your bong cloud. That should have been the title for my story. It was Fuck Your Bong Cloud. Grigori does none of those things. He does what many people of his age would do when they have a complaint, is write a letter to the editor. Or in Grigori's case, he writes a letter to his local agony aunt in the newspaper, because the newspaper still exists.
Oh.
And Grigori is like, you know, I want to be fair to Frank, so I'm going to anonymize my story. So he writes in to the agony aunt, like,
as a chess grandmaster.
As a chess grandmaster living in this very specific town, playing against someone in a sport that we both enjoy, and it's chess. And
oh, no.
Dot, dot, dot. He does a very poor job of anonymizing it. The details are anonymous enough that the general public probably can't put two and two together. But what Grigori doesn't quite realize, because he's not the most tech savvy, he's much more into chess, is that, a lot of these agony aunt columns are syndicated across the country. So he wasn't just writing to, like, his local city. He was writing to the entire fucking nation, airing his grievances in a not sufficiently anonymized way.
Yeah, thought he was being anonymous, was definitely not being anonymous. Yeah.
And he also thought he was speaking to a small audience. He's like, there's no chance that Frank will see this. Well, Frank saw it. And Frank immediately recognizes all the details in this story. He's like, okay, so this is in my town, somebody playing chess, and there was an aggressive attack made by a young new player. Let's see. That literally just happened last week, so I think this is about me. Awkward. So Frank knows that he's going to be going to see Grigori again next week, and he knows that Grigori wrote an agony aunt's letter complaining about him to the entire fucking nation.
Right. Okay. Okay.
But Grigori doesn't know that Frank knows this.
Right.
So now, opposite shoe, you're Frank. What would you do next time you see Grigori?
Oh, I've got to be Frank now?
Now you got to be Frank. What are you going to do?
Okay, so...
Because as far as Grigori's concerned, he, like, nothing's going on. He has no idea that Frank knows.
I'm a 40-year-old chess man in diapers.
What? Where? Diapers?
Well, you said he was, like, nascent at the chess game. I don't know.
I thought you were implying he had some sort of incontinence issue. And then I was like, wow, all right. We're talking about those kind of health issues.
Fet life chess.
Oh, my Jesus Christ. Just thinking, like, colostomy bag. All right. Yeah, okay. If we're going to Fet Life today, they should get that. You know, they should be a sponsor for the show. So, yeah, you're
okay,
Frank.
So I'm 40-year-old Frank. I think I would be mortified. I'd be like, oh my God, I must have totally offended this guy. Like, it doesn't sound sarcastic or snippy or trying to ruin my name or reputation. It's like a genuine question to an agony aunt.
Yes.
I would apologize and take that as the way to start back from zero. Because who's the grandmaster here, dude? Like, or not grandmaster. Who's the nearest to grandmaster?
So if you were Frank, you would not be, like, horrified that somebody just bitched about you to the national papers. You'd be like,
yes, you'd be horrified, but maybe you have a lesson to learn from that. Like, maybe what you did was a bit dickish.
Mm.
And maybe that's one of the problems with learning on YouTube, right? You don't learn etiquette. You learn, like, moves, and you learn, like, little snippets of cool shit. And you can put it all together, but you don't have the finesse between the moves to allow for a societal pleasant game of rivalry.
Damn. Like, you got into, like, contacts there and etiquette. I'm like, there's some serious life lessons in this one today. So the moral of the story is, it's YouTube's fault. Fuck YouTube. Stop watching YouTube, everybody. Okay, that's it. That's my sticky pickle.
Yeah, and listen to Sticky Pickles, because we know.
We know.
We know.
You will learn etiquette from us. Flawless etiquette. I am definitely an etiquette expert. I am never awkward in social situations. I always know what to do. You're welcome.
That's why we are sharing our wisdom with you.
Oh, yeah. Very smart people. That's us. Carol! What is the sticky? What is it? Tell me.
Okay, so we have a Dora. Dora is a writer.
Is she an explorer?
Well, she kind of is, because she's working on her first mystery, like, you know, as an author. So she loves a mystery. She loves a good mystery. She reads them. She read them all through her teens. She wants to be a mystery writer. And, you know, recently she's been having a bit of writer's block, and it's been frustrating her. So today she's decided she needs a change of scene just to brighten her up and shake shit out. And she's leaving the comfort of her lovely apartment for a nearby coffee shop. And it sounds like no biggie. Loads of people do that all the time. But for her, it's a biggie. She doesn't do this.
Okay.
But she's kind of pulled because the day is really beautiful. You know, it's one of those days where it's super sunny, fluffy clouds, air is crisp as an apple. You can tell I wrote that.
That was today for me today.
And yeah. It's almost as sweet. Oh. That's an ad. Anyway, so she settles herself outside with her, you know, frothy coffee thing and her croissant au pistache.
Ooh, I could go for a croissant au pistache.
Right?
You have to say it aggressively. Croissant au pistache. Okay. Oh, croissant au chocolat. Okay.
It's a pricey number. But, you know, what a way to celebrate leaving the house, right? We all need that occasionally.
What's it like to leave the house, Curl? What does the outside world look like?
I'm going to let you know tomorrow. I'm getting my hair done.
Oh, nice. Okay. Done,
so, you know, I have to leave. She won't come here. I'm kidding. Okay. As Dora daintily munches on her delicious croissant pistache, she spies the longtime girlfriend of one of her close colleagues, Paul. And you can't miss her because she has like red corkscrew hair. And background, so Dora and Paul have been working together the evening shift at Giorgio's Gusto Gastro for years.
Giorgio's Gusto Gastro. That's Giorgio's Gusto Gastro. The triple G. All right, yes.
They're both in the arts, but they both have bills to pay, right? So, I mean, come on, croissant pistache, for fuck's sake, right? It's not cheap.
Croissant pistache.
Right, exactly. Anywho, so she's about to rise up and shout, you know, a woohoo to Miss Corkscrew. But she sees that Paul's wife is not alone. She's with a man who is definitely not Paul.
Okay.
And she's kind of a little mesmerized because the guy is incredibly good looking, like a very definite 8 out of 10.
Oh, all right. Like a Los Angeles 8, a New York 8, or a Boston 8?
A Los Angeles 8.
A Los Angeles 8 is like a 15. I'm just kidding.
In Oklahoma,
yeah.
Sorry, Oklahomans. I've never been there. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't think they would be offended. I think they'd be like...
They're not listening. Are you listening? Are you there? Let us know. Give us a review.
If you're in Oklahoma and you're in Oklahoma 15, please tell us.
Please review this week. We will read it out loud next week on the show. Okay, but this makes Dora slightly annoyed because her boyfriend, Paul, her workmate, her colleague at Giorgio's Gusto Gastro, is definitely a 6.5, probably a 7 if he looked after himself a bit better. So it's kind of a bit not fair.
Mm. Can I ask you genuinely, do you rate people like this normally? Because I'm like, what?
I think if an incredibly beautiful person walks into a room of normal looking people, I fucking notice. Yes.
Yeah, but do you go, that person's a 9?
No.
No, I've never thought of people as in terms of numbers. So I'm just.
I thought it'd be fun. That's why I called it the 8 okay. out of 10.
All right.
But Dora's self-pity is shattered by Corkscrew's tinkly laugh. Dora sees her across the park, you know, bent over giggling. And she loops her arm through Mr. 8 out of 10, pulls him to her, and off they trot in a kind of snuggle shuffle thing.
Could this be brother-sisterly love?
Yes. Well, thinks Dora, right? But they don't look alike. Like Corkscrew and 8 out of 10, you know, I mean, they could be adopted, I suppose.
Yeah.
But Dora's like thinking, this has just landed on my plate. This is already a mystery, right? And I'm into writing mysteries. And she's seething with curiosity. So she decides to like follow Corkscrew and 8 out of 10 tossing everything in her bag except her baseball hat, which she dons for a bit of an anonymity.
As one anonymity. One must keep a baseball cap with you if you're going to be a mystery writer, because you never know when there's going to be hijinks. It's true.
You never know, right? She's off at a careful distance, right? A careful distance. And like 5 hours later, she's sitting in the alleyway of Giorgio's Gusto Gastro on her first break, and she's sweating.
Can you say Giorgio's Gusto Gastro one more time?
Giorgio's Gusto Gastro. She is
I actually really want to go to Giorgio's Gusto Gastro. Sounds really...
Me too. If we ever find a place anywhere in the planet, can we go together?
Yes! Oh my God, live episode of Sticky Pickles at Giorgio's Gusto Gastro, wherever it is in the world. Oh my God, I gotta Google
that. We're meeting, we're going.
Giorgio's Gusto Gastro. No such place. Like, all right.
Let's make one. It could be our restaurant.
Oh my God. Oh. There is Giorgio's Roast Beef and Pizza close to me in Brockton. Not probably what you were thinking of.
Together?
Yeah, it's a very trashy Massachusetts thing. I would not eat that. Anyways, that's a hell of a tangent. Yes, she's following them, and she's in the alleyway behind Triple G's.
Well, now it's like 5 hours later. She's sitting outside the restaurant, right? Giorgio's Gusto Gastro on her first break, and she's sweating with responsibility because for the last 5 hours, she's followed Corkscrew and 8 out of 10 into a shopping center where Corkscrew helped 8 out of 10 choose a scarf, a really soft one, which even Dora admits he looked absolutely delicious in. But she did that thing of holding both ends of the scarf as she gazed up at Mr. 8 out of 10.
Oh.
Right? And Dora's like, poor Paul. And she spies them over lunch. She doesn't let go. Right? They're in a teriyaki place where they laugh and talk intensely, drink beer. I have a script here. And it autocorrect beer to bear. So it's like they drink bear.
They drink bears. What is the age difference between the two?
8 out of 10 and Corkscrew?
Yeah, 8 out of 10 and Corkscrew. Yep.
It's the same. I don't know, like mid-30s. Yeah.
Okay, like, so we don't have like a cougar.
Beautiful, adultish. Yeah.
Appropriate age-ish. Okay, got it. Yep.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
And like for Dora, it's like body language alert, right? She can't hear them because she's across the square on a bench behind a newspaper. But she sees her foot on his stool that he's sitting on.
On his stool.
On his stool. Like they're sitting at the window of the teriyaki place.
Yeah, but not on his body. Like not crawling up his leg or whatever.
She sees her slap his beautiful 8 out of 10 thigh. In hilarity. And she doesn't like what she's seeing, right? Because she loves Paul. And this will crush him. So you're not going to like this, Maria. I know, because I've known you. And our listeners know you. And they know you're not going to like this.
Yep.
Right? But she starts taking a few pics of Corkscrew. And
yeah, I don't like that.
You know, she's thinking that maybe if this turns out to be what she thinks it might be, and if ever there's a kind of I saw, you know, I didn't kind of conversation, she'll have proof.
Yeah. Yep.
And now, like an hour before she came into work, she's glad she did because, you know, at 4 p.m., she followed them to a bloody hotel. 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And they both go in. She can't help herself. She enters the lobby, gets a closer look, and they're both checking in together. But then she has to dash to work, right? To be there on time. And that's when she realizes she's seeing Paul tonight at work. Right? She doesn't lie to Paul. They're kind of like confessional work friends. You know, what else do you do but share your life when, you know, the clients are slow? There's no, you know, nobody dining.
And some of us are just shit at lying. So we're just like, I got a secret.
Yeah. Let's be honest. I don't know. That's kind of a crazy thing, but let's try it. Exactly. Right? So, okay. So that's where she's at. She's now sitting outside on her first break. Because the problem was when she got to work, she acted perfectly normal. She kind of G'd herself up in the, you know, in the parking lot, got in. And within 2 minutes, you know, Paul was like, what's wrong? Are you okay?
I got diarrhea.
Sorry. Do you know my husband used
diarrhea.
He used that last night. He used that. I was talking to someone on speakerphone. I didn't remember who it was. And I was trying to describe that situation. He just went, sorry, diarrhea. And I was like, yes, exactly.
Sorry, diarrhea.
Hashtag it. Can you just do that in a social?
Hashtag sorry diarrhea. That is we do merch. It's just going to be hashtag sorry diarrhea.
So the thing is, it's like Paul's following her around the restaurant, right? Going, what's going on? Whipping her with a towel.
It's like, just run off to the bathroom. Sorry diarrhea. You'd be surprised how long that excuse can work for. Like, I've just got this lingering stomach thing. It's just not leaving.
No one asks.
Yeah, nobody wants to know details. Everyone's like, oh.
It is the best. You know, TM tier, registered trademark, Sticky Pickles. Hashtag sorry diarrhea. Sorry diarrhea.
Everyone's like, okay, got it. No further questions.
Understand
Thank
that the merch is
going to
go
way.
Fast. We're all going to want to wear this blazoned across our chest.
Yes. So please give me a sorry diarrhea pants or underwear or a hat. I can imagine just walking my child to school with the sorry diarrhea hat on. nobody will have questions for me.
Maybe with like a QR code in the back, just so people can follow us really quick.
Yes, in the back. Why is your daughter late to school? Sorry, diarrhea.
Rear hat, motherfucker.
Yeah. okay. So that.
So yeah. So okay. So he's hounding her, right? Because he knows her. She's all like a little prune. Right? Like her shoulders are high, her neck is low, her face is pinched. She's got something she needs to get out. And that's what they've been doing for the last few years. Except this time it's about him and his girlfriend. And oh my God.
Yeah. So, okay. Yes.
Maria, what do you do now?
Before making such a hefty accusation of not at him, but like at his girlfriend to him. I admittedly am the type of person who's like, I got to think of every possible unreasonable explanation why this very obvious thing is not what it is.
Right, right, right.
Partially because of this show. but partially because I'm like, no, you wouldn't. No.
Because like people are not assholes generally.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I
occasionally.
Sometimes they are. But I'm also like, this just seems like there could be room for misunderstanding. Like there are reasons for flirty behavior. It's like, what's her line of work? You could start with asking just some questions that might clear up your confusion before you lob an accusation. So you could be like, hey, Paul, you know, chit chat, whatever, and then work your way around to
hey, Paul, how's it going? How's it going?
So how's your girlfriend been? Like, what's she up to? Oh, yeah, I meant to ask you, what'd she do for a living? Oh, she's an escort. Oh, okay. or she works in sales, or she's a masseuse. Or
how are you guys doing as a relationship? Oh, it's open.
Oh
okay. Right.
That's great. Not that okay. I'm interested, but just, you know, great to know.
Good to know.
Good to know. Because has she put on her relationship spreadsheet that she's got a new partner? that would be my very unsubtle way of trying to be like.
Yeah, because the options, as far as I can see, is like you tell him. Or you ask him, like you're saying, ask him roundabout questions to get him thinking about it or divulging something that allows you to be certain. Or you tell her, but you don't know her nearly as well.
Yeah, we're assuming this is a problem. It might not be a problem. It might be something that they're not open about. Like, say it is an open relationship situation. Not everybody's open about it being an open relationship. He might be embarrassed, or he might be like, yeah, we're in an open relationship, NBD. So who knows? Some people are like, yeah, I don't care. Or we're not exclusive, or I don't know.
And you could do nothing because it's not your fucking business.
See, that's usually my MO is it's none of my fucking business. But if I'm also the person who apparently is taking pictures of strangers and following them around, I feel like I have already left that well behind.
You're a mystery writer.
Yeah, oh, I'm doing research for my book. I'm doing research.
And a mystery landed on your lap.
Yeah. Well, then I'd still want to know what their deal is so I could, you know, because now I'm just curious. So.
Like, which way do you go in this sitch?
So, but I look like I'm about to explode because I need to tell him something and I can't. He knows something's up.
You need to tell him something. Yeah.
I mean, we've discussed the possible. I mean, you could do the sorry diarrhea thing. You know, like, I just saw her at the cafe. You know, I just ran into her at the cafe. You don't have to say who she was with.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, that's odd. She should be at blankety blank. Then you're like, oh.
Right. Oh, yeah, then 8 out of 10 was with her. Did I mention that? 8 out of 10.
You can be like, oh, that's you know, I just saw her at the cafe. She's like, oh, that's weird. I thought she was on a business trip to Romania. And like, oh, that's really strange.
You and your Eastern European.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing Eastern Europe today. I don't know why. We just are. She went to Transylvania and then she came back with an 8 out of 10.
Well, so Dora takes your advice. She decides to say nothing, right? Because
none of my business.
She doesn't know, right? She's not her business. And that's when it comes out that Corkscrew's been stepping out with a rich model. And Paul is totally gutted when he finds out, wailing at work, that it's apparently been going on for months. And can Dora believe it?
So this was super straightforward.
Did she know?
It doesn't matter if she did. It's not her business.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Just sing in your head all the time so you don't think too hard.
No, just delete those photos in your next bathroom break. Make sure next time he's swiping through on your photo album, he doesn't come across the photo evidence that you knew. But no, you had no idea. I mean, how would you know? Why would you know? It's not your relationship. I mind my own business.
That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Get off your butts and review.
Plus, some of you know this, but we have launched a Patreon. And $3 gets you our love. And you are supporting us paying the bills for this show that we provide for you for free. So, patreon.com/stickypickles is our tip jar. If you like what we're doing, your support means a lot. And you can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter. We're still there. And at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram and hashtag Sticky Pickles on the Fettyverse. Anything else you can find on stickypickles.com?
Jesus Christ, you sound professional. Okay, bye, everyone.
Sorry, it's life now.
Hi, you can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and on Sticky Pickles on Instagram.
No, tip your waitress. Try the veal.
Our mash is great.
Now I'm hungry. I haven't had anything to eat today.